Peace and love. Peace and love.
Welcome to this neighborhood, neighbor.
My mom always said life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
You know what I am? I'm a housewife that figured it out.
Wow, 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 wow!
And now, here's the host of Good Things Radio, Brooke Taylor.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Hello, and thank you for being a part of episode number 74 of Good Things Radio. My name is Brooke Taylor. I want to give a big, warm welcome to any new listeners who may be discovering Good Things Radio for the first time. I had the great honor of delivering a keynote talk this weekend. It was at a homeschool conference called 3-to-1. Obviously, my message was not about molecular biology or teaching parents techniques to send their 10-year-old to college, but it was all about the home and just falling in love with God in the ordinary, finding Him in the domestic church, which is our house, seeing Him in new ways, being grafted onto Him as He pours His grace into our lives, because Lord knows we all need it. And so that's what it was about this weekend for me. I could talk about the conference, and I will, but I would really like to kind of take you there, if that's okay. So that's what we're going to do on this episode. I recorded two different segments, kind of an on-site at the convention center this weekend, and I want to bring them to you. So I'll tell you a little bit about them. The first is about the amazing, crazy new trend of getting into planners, day planners. This is like a whole new world I'm discovering. So remember when scrapbooking was so big, and evidently it's kind of reincarnated itself into the form of planners now for moms. So there are hundreds of different kinds of daily planners, pocket, desk, 5A planners. And of course, we all know, like Franklin Covey and just the Moleskin organizational names that we're all familiar with. But I'm telling you, it's like on steroids now. It's kind of planning meets scrapbooking. So I just discovered this. And what's interesting is one of the women blazing a new trail in this wild west of planners is Erica. And she's from the website chaoticblessings.com. So it was really neat to be able to talk to her. And I want to share it with you, like planning 101. How do we do it? Where do we start? It can be a little bit overwhelming. So she's going to explain this whole trend. She's going to lay it out for us so we know. And I also took a picture of what these planners look like. Hers are beautiful. They're like works of art. And so I'm going to post them on our Facebook page. But that's coming up, a little interview with her. Also, I sit down with Ori Good. She's the founder of the blog OurGoodLife.org, and her blog is all about fostering and adoption and infertility, dealing with loss, some unexpected circumstances, her own journey into adoption, fostering, medically fragile children. So it's a completely different kind of topic, but I think both are going to give you new perspectives and hopefully new inspiration to walk away from. So we'll do that on the show. Also, a huge celebration is in order. Arise tickets. This is big news. They went on sale and you snatched those babies up like hotcakes. I am still catching my breath and amazed and thanking God. I sent a text to my girlfriends that night that they went on sale and they were just selling, selling, selling. And I pulled up. It says here on my phone, the Holy Spirit has gone fishing and He is catching souls in His net of mercy. Because that's how I feel. Like, this wonderful catch of women has been reeled in by the master fisherman, our Father, our Lord. And I'm just so grateful. And so as I record this podcast right now, let me pull it up here, get the website up. Here's what I can tell you. All single occupancy rooms with full baths sold out. All single occupancy rooms sold out. Double rooms, under 20 left, 19, and actually less than that. I have to pull two off because of special circumstances. One of our speakers that was just going to come said, I'm feeling called to stay the whole weekend, so I got to do that for her. And they haven't even gone on sale to the public yet. So that's what's pretty amazing. So if you are thinking about it, if you're on the fence, I encourage you, just go for it. Get your ticket before it's gone. I promise you, like Andrea said on last week's podcast, you will not regret it. And for those that don't know, it is a women's retreat next April. All the details you can find on our Facebook page. You can go to our either podbean.com or goodthingsradio.com website and get all the information about the retreat. So we have a lot to get to on the show today. Before we dive in, let's pray. Light of the world, We thank you for the gift of this season, where the colors are gold and bright and the air is crisp and the seasons are changing. What a gift it is. Help us, Lord, as we enter into a new season to begin again fresh, to trust you with our days, to wake up with a song in our heart that you are with us, Emmanuel, God with us, to breathe in grace, to breathe out praise. And to not let an hour go by that we don't think of you, speak your name, or in some way show through our actions a word of love to you in our service to others, our family and those around us, even in the road when we're frustrated, even with our kids when we're tired. Lord, give us grace. In Jesus' name, amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
It's Brooks House. Ow. It's Brooks.
Okay, so come on in. Laundry's being folded in the living room. My son Grant is watching a new season of The Flash on Netflix. My other son Garrett filling out a day planner that I just brought home from the 3-to-1 conference this weekend. Carolina playing with a baby rattle. She's tearing up some paper in her room. Vivian is Skyping her family in China. You know, let's check in with Vivian. I'm curious. I just have to ask you this. What in the world in China, and maybe you can say this from the perspective of all of the citizens that you know of in the country, or just your family, what do they make of this presidential election? Do they follow it at all?
Yeah, they follow it, like every details about the debate and everything.
So what are you hearing?
Like most Chinese, like probably more like Hillary, because Trump didn't like China.
Trump doesn't like China. He makes stuff in China.
But like he said a lot about the Chinese. I don't know. But
okay, so most Chinese are not a fan.
No.
Okay. And I wanted one more. But how do you say good morning? Can you give us another weekly Chinese lesson? Good morning in Chinese.
Sure. 早上好.
One more time.
早上好.
早上好.
Yeah.
Like that?
Yeah.
Okay. That was easy. We'll have to stick with the two-word phrases from now on. All right. Thanks, Vivian. And actually, speaking of Skyping, Andrea Cingarella last week joined me on the program to talk about the book Hands Free Mama. So I really enjoyed that conversation. We talked a lot about putting away our smartphones, getting rid of our to-do list, just sitting at the feet of our family, sitting at the feet of our Lord, essentially, and enjoying them. And I want to thank Melissa for taking the time to reach out on Voxer and share some feedback about that. Again, you can find us on Voxer. Find me at Brooke Taylor in the number one. Melissa did that great input here, and take a listen.
Hey, Brooke, this is Melissa, and I'm going to try and navigate driving and boxing at the same time. So I listened to your podcast and talking about hands-free. I had a job interview today, and I had to take part of my job interview was that I had to do like a typing test, and then I had to take a couple other tests, and they took me to the employee break area while they were doing my test, and my bag was in the HR girl's office. And so I'm sitting there, and it was really uncomfortable because I didn't have my phone. And it's so true. We depend so much on our phones, and we use them so much to utilize our time and suck through our time. And it was really hard to sit there. I don't know how long I sat there, maybe 10 minutes. But, you know, people were like walking by and I'm trying not to stare at them. And I know they're looking at me like, who are you? And it was just a really awkward situation. And one of the guys said something to me and I said, well, I don't have my phone. I can't like hide my face in the phone and, you know, ignore you. And he started laughing at me and he goes, it's so true. So anyway, while I was sitting there, not anxious, but, you know, uncomfortable with my surroundings, I thought about the podcast and thought I would send you a Voxer when I got some time. I hope all is well. Bye-bye.
First of all, thank you for your honesty, because I know as you say that, there are so many of us nodding in complete and total agreement with everything that you just said. And it's a wake-up call. And I think it's good to be aware of that. And it's interesting that you actually bring that up, because I've been trying to make that change. And in an odd way, something that kind of came out of left field was really the other thing in Brooke's house right now happening. And that is my sheer joy about ordering a new Filofax. Now, Filofax is like a Franklin Covey or a brand of day planner that has been around for a long time. It actually stands for Files of Facts. And it became big, boy, I'm going to get this wrong, either in World War I or World War II, because it was what was carried to have a lot of data in. and it stuck around. It must have been World War II. I don't remember, but I think it originated in the UK. The point is they're kind of nice leather planners and you can get different sizes. And what's been helpful about that is I've kind of slipped into this world of day planners, not realizing how huge it is right now. And it's really allowed me to kind of get off my cell phone, although I am on the computer, so it really doesn't make a difference, but trying to research and plan, and you'll see them everywhere. I just want you to keep your eye out for this on social media, blogs, Etsy, Amazon, Instagram. It is the next big thing. And so if you don't have a day planner, you need this. Or even if you just have a basic, I have a basic Moleskine day planner and it works. It's functional. I appreciate it. I am not someone that has everything on my phone. I do have reminders and some calendar things because that's how my husband operates. Just like the same for reading books. I like the paper in my hand. I like the bound book. And it's the same with planners. But this is now a whole new level. It's scrapbooking meets day planning. And the idea is it's kind of a journal of our days that is off of social media. It's off of the smartphone. It's something that actually year to year, you can save your planners and look back and say, wow, this is a diary of my days. And I really like that it's outside of anything technological. So I was able to talk with Erica and her new precious baby girl, which you'll hear in this interview as well at the 3-to-1 conference this weekend. It just happened to be, and this was already on my mind going into the conference. And so I've already been, sometimes, you know, when you get into a kick and you just, it's all of a sudden consuming you because you're researching everything about it. That's what it's been like with these Filofaxes and these different planners that they have. And she happens to be one of the most popular women bloggers about this. So I was so thrilled to be able to find her and then to be able to bring the information to you. So I would love to hear your feedback on it. But first, here's Erica. And just a little heads up, the interview is in the vendor hall. So you're going to hear a lot of commotion in the background, but it's worth it.
It's Brooke Taylor here. So we are at the 2-to-1 conference and I'm with Erica. And if you listen to the last podcast episode, you will probably get a kick out of this and laugh a little bit because the theme was all about hands-free mama, burning the to-do list, putting away the planner, and just grabbing hold of our kids and tuning everything out. But I think it's tongue-in-cheek because, of course, I think what helps us maximize our time is when we have good use of the order of our days, the hours that we've been given. And Erica, I'm here with Erica at her booth that's called Chaotic Blessing. And she's on Instagram, she's on Twitter, she's on Periscope. And you're going to want to check her out because she is the planning princess. It is an amazing site here. Erica, can you tell us a little bit about your business and your passion?
Sure. My passion is to provide functionally beautiful items for moms and wives and just women in general so that they can plan their lives. But I realize that when things are beautiful, it makes us want to use it a little bit more. But they need to function for us because if we're not functioning, it's just a waste of money. And I don't want anybody wasting their money, not in this day and time.
But you know, when I saw you were here, I felt like the heavens opened up and it was providential because I just saw on social media, as a matter of fact, the Filofax, which is like Franklin
yes.
Covey, or there's so many planner names.
There are so many out there.
And now it's this huge, trending, booming business. If you go into Michael's or Hobby Lobby,
yes.
there is whole sections like they used to have for scrapbooking where you personalize your planner. You make it work for you.
Right.
And I am equally inspired and overwhelmed. So can you talk a little bit about where does one start if you want a super beautiful planner that has everything from your meal plans to your appointments to if you are a blogger, your schedule?
I think the best place to start is to figure out how you plan. If you're a time blocker or if you're just a lister, and then find a planner that has that type of layout. Because if you're not planning in the way that you think, then you're not going to use it and you've just wasted your money. So if you want an inexpensive route to start, Happy Planner, you can get those at Michael's or Hobby Lobby. Those are always a great place to start. Webster's Color Crush are another inexpensive way to start. But no planner is going to have everything that you need. So what you do from there is that you make it. Well, you need to make it your own. You really have to make it your own. And so you start with a really great structure and you build from there, just like we do with anything else. And so get something that you're going to actually start using and then start building from there.
So what does, for you, the perfect planner have? Because I've noticed it's not just the inserts and the time block or list, but it's also the accessories, the really cute paper clips and the charms that go on it. I mean, I think it kind of brings out the little girl in us.
It brings out the little girl in us. I think it gives us a creative outlet because so many times as moms and wives, we are so focused on everybody else. I think this gives us a little bit something for us. And I don't know about everybody else, but I like looking at pretty things. And so if my schedule or my routine is in something that's pretty, I'm going to do it more. And it also, I look forward to my Sunday session of sitting down and planning out my week because I get to play with stickers for a little while.
So you're a planner. You have stickers in it. I mean, yeah. I'm looking at several. You've got them laid out. I'm going to take a picture, post it on our Good Things Radio Facebook page. But it looks like you have seasonal stickers and
I do.
Everything from pictures to to-do lists.
Yeah, well, I take my planners and once I've done with my week, maybe a couple weeks later, I'll go in and add pictures from my phone, those little pictures that we don't ever do anything with, and put them in my planner because our memories work only two ways, visually and emotionally. And so now I've just created memories that normally I wouldn't have remembered the little stuff because they're not big life events. And so now I can remember all those little things from the kids dressing up with boxes to, you know, somebody got their nose banged that week. Just the little stuff.
That's life.
But it's true. Right. But it's the stuff we forget.
Yeah.
And it's the little memories that when we get older and senile and we can't remember that are really going to trigger and say, oh, yeah, remember that day you had surgery and your brother got hurt the same day? Like, that's not stuff that we would recall because it's not a baby being born or, you know, a birthday party.
Speaking of.
Sorry.
Yes. So, real quick. And I know you got to go. When it comes to planners, do you keep them year after year?
I do.
It sounds like it's a
journal. Absolutely.
Okay.
I think that all of our plans, whether it's a to-do list, and I don't necessarily keep every to-do list, but my planners, I do because that's my life. That is what I've done, and that's my accomplishment. And so what better way to remember what I've accomplished, whether it was last week or last year or 5 years ago, than to be able to go look back and say, oh, yeah, I really did do a lot. May not feel like it, but I did. I accomplished a lot, and especially for, sorry.
Oh, yeah, go. Yes.
We've got one calling, Ernie.
Oh, my goodness. She is so pretty in purple.
Thank you. I think especially for stay-at-home moms, so many times we don't realize how much we do and we accomplish. And this is a great way to be able to pat ourselves on the back and say, you know what, I'm really doing a lot and I'm really getting things done and I'm serving my family and I'm serving my community and I'm serving my kids. But if we don't, then we don't remember all that stuff.
Well, I never thought of a planner as being holy before, and that's really kind of the picture you painted. So as we wrap up, can people go to your website and buy anything, or do you have tutorials? Tell us a little bit about what we'll find when we visit you.
On my website, I have a store. You can buy planner inserts that are customized, kind of like make your planner your own, and stickers. I really, really tried to do functionally beautiful, and so I don't have a lot of just like smiley faces or characters. Most of my stuff is stuff you can actually use. So it's colorful, but you can write on it.
Great.
And then I teach classes on how to do effective planning, get your home a little bit more manageable. For example, this Friday I kick off my holiday planning session where I'll actually take you through the holidays so you can have a seamless, calm holiday season.
Wow.
So things like that. Well, they'll find on my website.
Now you're speaking. That's better than chocolate. Okay, so it's chaoticblessings.com?
Yes, chaoticblessing.com.
Okay, thank you, Erica.
Thank you.
Is that a game changer or what? So thank you, Erica, for rocking our world. Please go to her site and just buckle up. That's all I'll say. Let me know if you're into this. Let me know your thoughts about this. Her website, again, by the way, is chaoticblessings.com. She just opened a store, and it's neat because she has inserts that are family master meals that you can help. It's laid out for you to get your meals written down every day. There's a prayer journal. There's gift ideas. So you can buy these inserts, and at the bottom, it has the pants, the shoe size, everything that you might need for the person that you're going to buy for. It's really ingenious. So again, her website is chaoticblessings.com. Check it out. Let us know what you think. You can reach out to me also at Twitter. It's #1 and Brooke Taylor, Instagram, all of those. But best way probably either Voxer or feedback at goodthingsradio.com. The other conversation that I wanted to share with you is a sit down with Ori Good. And again, just a little disclaimer about the audio quality, because you're going to hear a little bumping and moving and some background noise, but the content of the words are what matters. And you can hear her message loud and clear, and it's pretty amazing. So here we go with Ori Good. I'm at the 2-to-1 conference, and here with Ori, the founder of ourgoodfamily.org. Hi, Ori.
Hi, Brooke. How are you?
I'm great. I was so instantly connected to you when I heard a little bit about your story. You know, we met, we saw each other real quick coming into this conference. I think many are in the same boat. You're one of the team members, so you're a lucky one that you kind of know bird's eye view everybody coming in. You already know about them.
Yes.
But coming in, I didn't know your story. And so I was so inspired to hear little by little, and then our mutual friend Colleen Kessler, who's been on the program before, Raising Lifelong Learners, this is her blog, and she said, you have to meet Ori, and she's so amazing. And so I met you, and now I want the listeners to meet you as well. Could you just talk a little bit about your story, your website again, ourgoodfamily.org, and I know it's changed over time because you as a homeschool mom, a wife, but also a foster and adoptive mom is really kind of where you've parked. So can you tell us a little bit about your story, your call?
Sure. We started our family with our daughter, Sophie, who's going to be 9 in January. I don't know where the time goes.
I know.
And we have a little girl named Isabel, who's going to turn 7. And when I was carrying Isabel, my uterus burst. So I was not able to carry any more children. And at that point, I was not ready to be done. My husband was, so it took some convincing that maybe we could look into adoption. Because we had 2 girls, a lot of doors internationally were closed because we were not able to choose the sex of our child, or we would only be allowed to have a boy or a child with special needs, and we didn't feel that that was the right call for us. So in looking through different avenues, we discovered adoption from foster care through an agency in New Jersey where we live.
So did this take a couple of years and your husband slowly feeling like, okay, warming to this idea?
He will still tell you he's warming to the idea, and we're 7.5 years into
it. Don't you think that's so common? I all the time talk, and that was my own journey, my own story, where I was ready to go and my husband was not so fast there. So
yes.
How does that work? And just the Lord works on them? Or
I never wanted to have children.
Wow.
My husband did not want to have children. So there you go. We went from 0 kids to 5 kids.
Oh my goodness.
Very quickly. The reason I think it got laid under my heart is because my father was not wanted as a child. He stayed with his parents. His parents provided for him, but he knew early on he was not loved. He just was a bonus child, per se. Mm. And so I grew up knowing that story, and it just broke my heart because even at 62 years old, you could still see the pain in my dad's eyes when he would talk about not being wanted. So that always stuck with me.
Okay.
So when we started looking and exploring, adoption seemed like an easy fit, but then international adoption kept getting closed door after door after door. Domestic adoption, also the doors closed. So we were kind of thinking we had this idea, where was it going to go? So foster care, and all of a sudden we started realizing there are children in the United States in the foster care system who are being told that they're not worthy, that they're unwanted, that they're not worth anything. And this seemed like a magical fit because I knew my dad's pain and had lived with that, then I could kind of mirror that and know where these kids are and try and reach them and break that cycle so that they didn't grow up to think that they're not worthy and that no one loves them.
I hear you. And I know every listener is hearing you and thinking, wow, that's true. It's amazing. It's a call we should all be asking ourselves. Should we open our homes and our hearts to people who need love? That's the mandate of a Christian. But it, at the same time, comes with a lot of fear. Did you experience that? And the people that you encounter now who know your story, is that the biggest thing that holds them back, is apprehension of the unknown?
Yes. You hear foster care and you immediately go to drug babies. Kids ripped away. There are all sorts of stories about different situations. And the thing with foster care that everyone tells me, you never know what you're going to get. And the thing is, when you're pregnant with a baby, you don't know what you're going to get. And when you adopt domestically or internationally, you don't know what child you're going to get. And I firmly believe that God has got the perfect child out there. And whether that child is biologically yours, came through domestic adoption, came through kinship adoption, or like us, came through the foster care system, each of our children that we've been able to adopt are a perfect fit for our family.
And in maybe an unexpected way, because I know medically fragile children are a part of your story as well. And was that unexpected? How did you hear that call and answer and then feel equipped?
I went into that one kicking and screaming. Both our daughters were medically fragile at birth. My now 7-year-old had double eye surgery at 15 months, and we dealt with many, many issues with that. And it just turned out that when we started getting calls in New Jersey, we are one of 12 in the state that are licensed to take medically fragile children.
Do you have a special nursing degree? How did that come to pass?
No. All it meant is that we were willing to take a couple extra classes, and it means that we are willing to go the extra mile, to take these kids to doctor's appointments, to not be afraid of special circumstances. Now, medically fragile can be anything from needing a G-tube and needing a feeding tube and being on oxygen, or it can be something like our current foster son. He simply has processing issues that, you know, he just can't process things correctly. Now, that's something that you don't know going in, but we just are equipped to keep going in meeting therapies and doing all that. Whereas if you're a regular foster home, you may not know to pick up on little nuances that something just isn't right.
So what does your family look like now? You shared your two daughters, and now you have...
Yep, I have my husband. We have two daughters. Sophie will be 9. Bella will be 7 next week.
Oh, boy.
We have an adorable 3-year-old son, Samuel, who we adopted from the foster system. He was placed with us as a newborn. We brought him home from the NICU. He had bilateral club feet. His goal was changed to adoption at 3 months, and we finalized his adoption at 23 months. It took us 2 years to adopt him. Our current siblings that we have now is a little boy. He is 1, and his baby sister is 3 months old. So they are, yes, and a year apart.
Wow.
They are full siblings. They've been removed for good reason. I hate saying that, but there was a good reason. And the state recently changed both their goals to adoption, and they've asked us to adopt them.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. Yeah, so we are going to have 5 kids, 8 and under.
So your answer is yes.
Our answer is yes. And that, I think, is what I want people to understand. When you say yes to foster care, you're not saying yes to 20 years down the road. You are saying yes that tomorrow you will wake up and you will care for a child. And then every day you're waking up just like you wake up to say, yes, Lord, I can care for my husband and I will make breakfast and I will care for my kids. We say yes to, yes, Lord, I'm going to get up and I'm going to love on this child who may not be biologically mine, but right now they're in my house and we need to care for them.
What have your children, all of them, and those even temporarily who have come and gone on mm-hmm. to other placements, what have they taught you?
My biological daughters have taught me that race doesn't matter. They don't see race. They simply, with the grace and honesty of a child, they see that a child needs a home. They need our love, and that we can provide that. The children that have come and gone and left, they take a piece of our heart. I'm not going to tell you reunification is hard, but it's good knowing that we've given them the absolute best start that they can get, and that maybe we've broken that cycle, and that maybe they can stay strong and continue and keep that cycle.
Why do you think more people, and we talked a little bit about this, the fear, the apprehension in terms of fostering, but even adoption, because I know unless we walked through a specific journey of infertility, it wasn't something that was on our radar. We obviously, as Christians, believe that adoption is a good thing. It is in Scripture, and we are told to care for the orphans and the widows. And what an important place the orphans and the widows have in the kingdom of heaven and in the eyes of Christ. But yet, it just was something that was for other people. So what do you think, and especially as pro-life, I remember hearing the story of Jim Caviezel, and he was challenged in Hollywood by someone saying, if you're really pro-life, well, why don't you go adopt someone that's disabled if that's what you really believe? And so he said, okay. And so they went to China, he and his wife, and they did carry, and they brought back their beautiful daughter. But although many are pro-life, there seems to be a disconnect or a detachment from actually going the extra step and saying, I'm going to adopt a child because I believe if they don't have a home, every child needs a family. And what do you see? Because this is your tribe, as you put it, your community, people who have come out of the woodwork and ask questions. Mm-hmm. They're praying, they're discerning about foster and adoption. And sometimes it is challenging. Sometimes it's not a happy ending. But, of course, God gives us grace. And you think there would be a lot more happy endings if people said yes. So what's your answer to that?
It comes back to fear. I think fear holds us back a lot. You know, as Christians, we are told over and over in the Bible, do not fear. Do not be afraid. I mean, over and over and over. And it's fear. Fear of the unknown. Fear of having the state come into your home and check everything about you. Fear of loving on a child and then having that child removed. Fear of not being able to connect with a child who's not biologically yours. I think it boils down to just there's so much of the unknown that we're scared of. But if you can step outside that and just take a minute and realize that we're not talking about a statistic, we're talking about a child. And when you look at that and you're putting a face to that, all of a sudden that fear does go away. Now, believe me, there are days I get up and I pray to Jesus to give me strength because dealing with caseworkers, dealing with birth parents, it does get overwhelming. But when I look at the faces of these children that I am having the privilege of caring for, it really does make it all worthwhile.
What do you say for the woman who says, I'm on board, but my husband, there's no way?
Pray. Pray. I prayed that my God would change my husband's heart. I really did. And he actually came to it by himself. He came to me by himself. That came real wrong. Sorry about that. Ooh. So we'll edit that part out. Pray. I prayed a lot. And as it turned out, my husband came to me on his own and said, I think we should do this. Let's pursue it and see what happens. I don't think you can have a successful foster or adoption story if both parties are not on board.
I think that's a huge component, yes.
I really think that's important. I also think maybe see what the fear is holding you back. Because it might be something that could be worked out. It might be something as simple as they're, again, afraid that it'll change your family dynamic. It would change, you know, what goes on. And just to open the line of communication. The other thing you can do is go call your local DIFAS office and just go to a meeting. Like, sit down with them and have them tell you in black and white. Because a lot of the times, if they can, men like statistics, they like information. We're more emotional, we know that. Mm-hmm. But if they can get the information in front of them, black and white, maybe it would make sense as to why it's such a need and why maybe you could fill that need.
Well, thank you so much for your time. And I guess one final takeaway would be the way that you see Christ in the family of that he has knitted together. How has he shown himself in the ins and outs, day-to-day doctor's appointments, in ways that maybe have surprised you through your children, all of them?
Grace. I didn't understand what grace was before we had children. I really didn't. I didn't understand patience. I thought I was a patient person. I am not a patient person. I want everything to be solved now in my time, and I have learned that his timing is perfect. I didn't understand why it took me 5 years to get pregnant with my first child. I didn't understand why I wasn't allowed to carry any children after Bella, and I realize now because we've been able to care for these children that we would not have cared for if I could have had more children. There's no way we would have gone down this road. We wouldn't have Samuel, and I cannot imagine my life without Samuel. And he was brought to us at the perfect time. And the same thing with the sibling set that we have now. Honestly, having a 3-year-old, a 1-year-old, and a newborn is a very scary thing for me because it's very overwhelming. But the makeup of my children is perfect. And it just comes back down to it's his timing, it's his grace.
His will.
It is.
His will and your yes.
Mm-hmm.
How can people find you?
You can find me at ourgoodfamily.org. If you'd like to see pictures of our story, you can find me at Instagram at Ori Good. And on Twitter.
It's A.
A-U-R-I-E,
right?
Yep.
Okay. No L, just Ori Good.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Great. Thank you, Ori. God bless you.
Thanks, Brooke.
What a beautiful soul. Lots of takeaways from her story, her perspective, her faith. Thank you for all of that, Ori. And again, ourgoodfamily.org, that's her blog. Okay, that'll do it. I am off to go dream about my new planner and fold laundry and not talk about politics. Although I should say I do intend to tackle that topic one more time before November 8th, reluctantly, because I know that the world is going to be talking about Trump and Clinton every day, all day from now until Election Day. But since I was completely checked out of that world over the weekend, I'm just not going to go there on that episode. And I have to say it was a blessed oblivion because I had my family with me. I heard about this latest scandal with Trump, and I
was thankful that my children weren't around here. We were at a water park. They were completely unaware of these things. And it was nice. But at the same time, I just felt a sense of shame for our country. I'm embarrassed by the politicians that we have. We'll get into that at a different time. We'll dig into it as, of course, we probably need to, as much as I don't want to. Anything you have to say about that, I would love to hear from you as well. And it's coming. We'll get to that. Also on the next episode, we need to get to the What Are You Watching Now segment. Jenny sent a fantastic email. It has a list of her favorite shows. Peaky Blinders is on there from Netflix. She's got Endeavor on Amazon Prime, which I never even heard of. I need to check that out. But she also has some really neat documentaries, too. So we're going to talk about that. And there's still time to add your favorites. We want to know, are you into a series right now? Are you watching something and you want to share it with us? Tell us about your favorite program. Again, it's feedback@goodthingsradio.com. And as we close, I just want to share a quote that I've been reading a lot this week. I need it. It's going to be featured in my book, which I have been working on every day, writing as much as I can as I prepare to turn in my manuscript in December. But one of the early chapters has this quote, and it just has surfaced a lot in my heart this week, and I want to share it with you. It's from Oscar Romero. It says, "We cannot do everything, and there is a sense of liberation in realizing that. It enables us to do something and to do it very well. It may be incomplete, but it is a beginning, a step along the way, an opportunity for the Lord's grace to enter in and do the rest. We may never see the end results, but that is the difference between the master builder and the worker. We are the workers, not the master builders, ministers, not messiahs. We are prophets of a future, not our own. Amen." Thank you to my producer, Mark Cumming, from Cumming Home Studio, the best producer out there. You can check him out. He is a producer extraordinaire and wears many hats, known for his dynamic skills and quick work. So to find out more, visit him at cumminghomestudio.com. God bless you. And until next time, friends, happy planning and God's amazing grace be with you.